Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the EROAD FY 2020 annual results conference call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. On the call today, we have Mr. Steven Newman, CEO, and Mr. Alex Ball, CFO. With that, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Steven Newman. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. It's my pleasure, along with Alex, to present the full year results for EROAD for FY 2020. We will be working through the investor pack released this morning, along with the annual report and NZX announcement. Let us start. On page two is where we're starting. During FY 2020, we made good progress in delivering strong revenue and EBITDA growth. Revenue grew 32% to 81.2 million, with strong contributions coming from both our U.S. and New Zealand markets. EBITDA growth year-on-year was 73%, going to 27.1 million. The most pleasing was to see EBITDA margin increase year-on-year 31% to a margin of 32%. This growth in revenue and operational leverage allowed EROAD to make a 1.4 million dollar profit before tax. Future contracted income increased 17 million dollars to 134.4 million. Free cash flow was negative 12.8 million. Alex will explain the shape of this later in the presentation. We refinanced and expanded our debt facility to 60 million in March 2020. 23.9 million of the facilities are undrawn. EROAD is in a strong financial position to manage anticipated organic growth. Turning to page three, contracted units grew 21% to 116,488. An asset retention rate of 95.2% reflected the quality of our service and the value of our product offering. The combination of seven new SaaS services delivered and customer upgrades to the latest in-cab hardware saw monthly ARPU increase 6% to 58.38 dollars. We spent 15.6 million dollars on product developments, and this is to fuel continued growth. Alex will provide more information on that later in the presentation. 6.9 million dollars was invested in new business systems to allow us to scale as we deliver future growth, improve the customer experience, and operational leverage. If we now turn to page five, this graph shows the makeup of our subscriber base by market. Total contracted units grew 20,098 year-on-year. The two large enterprise accounts we brought on in North America contributed 7,150. We now move to page seven. This outlines the seven new SaaS services we delivered. If I kind of break them down into themes, in the U.S., we extended our driver fatigue management solution. In Australia, we got ATO approval for our fuel tax credit solution. In New Zealand and Australia, we improved our health and safety offering by adding a vehicle collision and rollover detection and monitoring service along with St. John's Ambulance. We also delivered a solution that allows protection of privacy of employees using company vehicles for private use. Privacy is definitely becoming a major theme and area of concern within New Zealand and Australia. We turn to page eight. New Zealand remains a significant growth opportunity, delivering a 21% growth in revenue year on year. Revenue growth came in two forms, growth in subscriber base and also growth in monthly ARPU. Contracted units increased 10,256, with 30% of these new customers coming from construction, civil engineering, agriculture and forestry. We renewed contracts for existing customers of 8,136 vehicles. This provided us with an opportunity to offer additional services. 6,283 vehicles were on our original eHub 01 in-cab hardware. The team were able to upsell 42% of these to the latest eHub 03 hardware. This combined with the additional SaaS services saw monthly ARPU increase $2.04 to $55.78. Asset retention rate remained high at 96.1%. If we go to page 9. The North American business is now an established market and is contributing at a group level both in terms of revenue and EBITDA. Revenue growth was 62% year on year to $24.8 million. The deployment of two large enterprise customers contributed strongly to the increase of 9,342 contracted units. This represents a 38% growth rate. EBITDA grew significantly year on year. In FY19, it was 0.4 million to 7.5 million in FY20. We continue to add services to our North American product offer to increase the product fit for our enterprise prospects. We look forward to releasing our eRoad Go workflow logistics management solution for drivers and our in-cab camera solution towards the end of the calendar year. We turn to page 10. Australia is a relatively new market for eRoad. We have a very promising enterprise sales pipeline pre-COVID, and we're in the final stages of agreeing supply terms. COVID has seen these opportunities push out, but they're not lost. Subject to continued uncertainty, we do expect progress on these during FY21. We onboarded our first Trans-Tasman customer, one in Australia, which is 355 vehicles, and that was rolled out simultaneously across New Zealand and Australia. I'll hand over to Alex and we'll go through the financial update.
Thanks, Stephen. Good morning, everybody. As Stephen's already outlined, eRoad has today delivered another year of strong growth across all of the key metrics represented on slide 12 financially. So revenue increased 32% from $61.4 million to $81.2 million. Our EBITDA increased by 73% to $27.1 million. And within that, the actual EBITDA margin increased by 31% from 25% to 33%. For our future growth, our future contracted income rose 14% to $134.4 million. And our total contracted units rose 21%, as Stephen's already said, to 116,500 units. We turn to slide 13 and move to look at the makeup of our EBITDA growth. The continuation of growth in New Zealand and North America in EBITDA is the key highlight for us here. And we continue to invest in opening up our newest market of Australia. EBITDA for New Zealand increased 25% to $34.9 million. North American EBITDA increased to $7.5 million from $0.4 million in FY19. And our negative EBITDA of $1.3 million for Australia represents the full year impact of our continuing sales and marketing investment into that market. our corporate and development segment, which contains our central head office cost as well as the product and engineering activity we undertake around research and development, recorded a negative EBITDA of $14 million, but this included non-recurring patent disputes of $2 million. We turn to slide 14 and start to look at the metrics we use to monitor our growth performance. Our annualized monthly recurring revenue, or AMRR, grew very substantially from $66.5 million at the end of FY19 to $86 million at the end of FY20. And this reflects both growth in the level of new contracted units as well as the improvement in group ARPU year on year that Stephen's already touched on. As we previously stated, future contracted income grew to $134.4 million from $117.4 million in the prior year, and is really a reflection of the net impact of the growth in contracted units offset by the revenue that we recognised during this year for existing units that we had at the beginning of the year and any new units we brought on during FY20. And then in terms of our investment for medium to long growth, we continue to ensure that we're making the right investments to keep EROAD on the right side of the investment curve. And accordingly, our investment in our R&D activities remained in the 18 to 22% of revenue range at 19%. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. If we move to slide 16 to talk about the metrics we look at around building enterprise value from our existing customer base, the two key metrics we track are ARPU and asset retention rate. We were pleased to see ARPU continuing to build year on year, increased to $58.38 for the group this year, albeit $1.23 of that $3.30 year on year increase that did relate to the strength of the US dollar against the Kiwi dollar. Once again, we are very happy that our asset retention rates have held up well. You can see that in the three-year trend on slide 15. And our group figure was 95.2% for FY20. And as our connected vehicle and therefore units numbers continue to grow, these metrics really increase in importance to ensure that we're deriving the maximum value from our customers by delivering additional value and providing appropriate customer service. We move to slide 16 to talk about our profitability metrics. In terms of the efficiency of how we win and service customers, we monitor this through two metrics. And as the charts on slide 16 show, we expect our cost to acquire or CAC metric to reduce over time as a percentage of revenue as we continue to scale and grow. And similarly, while our cost to serve metric has been held flat this year as a percentage of revenue, this was due to additional investment that EROAD made into capability in this area during FY20. And we expect the metric to continue to reduce during FY21 as further operating leverage is introduced, capitalizing on the investments we've made into new generation business systems and associated processes. We move on to slide 17 to take a deeper dive into our operating expenses and look at the movement there. The operating expenses increased by $8.3 million over the year. The biggest movement really relating to an investment we've made in people capability across a range of areas such as customer service and supply chain management, as well as further expanding our product and engineering capacity and capability as we make those investments Stephen touched on for the next phases of our growth across the market. The other two major movements to call out were our increase in our SaaS platform costs of $1.9 million, which increases increase the scale of operations to an increasing number of customers. And additionally, we had a net increase in our legal costs of net of $1.7 million, as we've already signaled. This was because we incurred during the year non-recurring patent dispute costs of $2 million, which contributed to that $1.7 million net increase. We move along to slide 18 and look at our investments in capital expenditure. Some of this investment relates specifically to being able to deliver our SaaS services into connected vehicles through the other hardware units that are deployed. And the level of these additions after adjusting for inventory movements is shown on the top of the slide there, increasing $2.5 million year on year, really reflecting the increased number of units installed in the vehicles, as well as an increasing proportion of the total units being installed in the US market. Our other major investment in CapEx relates to the intangible assets, which are set out on the bottom of slide 16. These are predominantly our development assets, which represent the capitalized R&D costs, and software assets, which are the installation and configuration costs relating to the business systems we use to run EROAD. Additions in this last category increased significantly in FY20 by $5.5 million year on year, and that was really due to the previously signaled deployment of our new generation of IT systems that will set us up to be able to scale more effectively and efficiently through the standardization they introduce as we grow further. If we turn next to slide 19, again, this is really a further dive into the R&D spend that we undertake in EROAD. As you can see from this slide, our overall investment in R&D activities continues to increase, as you'd expect, and as you would expect a growth company investing for the future and focused on that, the level of our capitalized investment in our development assets continues to exceed the level of amortization of the asset as we earn revenue from the use of the asset in providing SaaS services. We turn again now to slide 20, which starts to look at our cash flows and how we've generated cash, used cash during the year. With the continuing business growth across our two main markets, our operating cash inflows increased strongly to $23.1 million. We continue to make significant investments, as we've discussed in previous slides, noting that a $6.9 million of investment was made in that it was a cash outflow relating to our new generation of business systems. And while we continue to spend money to crystallize further benefits from these systems in FY21, the spend will not be anything like as significant. So accordingly, our free cash flows, which we define as the net of operating and cash and investing cash flows, held fairly steady at a net of $12.8 million outflow. Noting that we do not expect this to structurally improve, the continuing growth and further crystallized operating leverage going forward. Slide 21 is a new slide that we've introduced to really break out the use of cash and the generation of cash by our markets. And so you can see across those operating segments, this illustrates that we're now generating positive free cash flows in both New Zealand and North America, and that 16.5 of that positive cash flow was used in the continuing investment into development and software assets, with the sales and marketing investments into the Australian market accounting for approximately $1.7 million of outflow. And the remaining significant call-out run cash flow outflows there is really that $14 million of cash is used to fund our corporate costs, which includes the non-capitalizable research and development costs that we incur as well. We turn to slide 22. EROAD remains in a solid financial position. As we previously articulated, we believe, given the choppier economic waters we're all heading into, we are well positioned from an economic resilience point of view. We've got significant pre-contract and unearned future income. We have a diversity of earning base across both geographic markets and customer segments, as well as being diversified well into different customer industries. And we have $23.9 million of undrawn debt facilities to draw on within our overall increased facility of $60 million. And we anticipate this will be able to fund anticipated levels of organic growth. But as we've previously indicated, any very significant opportunities, both organic or inorganic, would most likely have to be equity funded. Coming to slide 23, while we are well positioned, we are, as I said, heading into choppier waters in all three of our markets as a result of the economic downturns created by the COVID lockdowns. We've already signaled to the market, as soon as the lockdowns commenced, we undertook a full review of the potential scenarios for growth and operations in all of our markets and what responses might entail for us in each of these scenarios. So as a prudent first step, we made a number of decisions to curb short-term spending in several areas of cost until we had greater clarity about the potential severity of the economic downturn. And we understood the timing and sequencing of any additional cost levers that we might have to use should macroeconomic conditions deteriorate further. Now I'm going to move across to the outlook section of the presentation, so I'll hand back at this point to Stephen to talk through that.
Thank you, Alex. If we turn to page 25, during FY20, we made very good progress strategically, extending our platforms, investing in our people, products, and business systems, all focused on doing a better job for our customers and adding more value. This has resulted in good progress financially, also in FY20, which means we can continue to invest in our growth ambitions. We turn to page 26. So COVID definitely threw a spanner into the works. We were well placed based on our sales pipelines to make a really strong start to the year. As soon as COVID hit, we implemented our global BCP, which allowed us to rapidly move to working from home effectively. During this time, our employees, products and services continue and to support our customers to manage their supply chain and business activity. Many of our customers provided essential services to keep the economies going in the markets that we operate. On the slide, you'll see the severity of the lockdown that occurred in New Zealand, and you also get to see some of the impacts on the different segments that we support in New Zealand. This information also is very useful to us to understand the market and the customer impact and how we can support our customers and best navigate through these uncertain months ahead. We turn to page 27. EROAD operates in large addressable markets. The New Zealand and North American market sizes have been updated based on the latest industry information. So there's significant additional addressable market that we now understand. Once we get through this period of chaos or uncertainty and each market is in a stable recessionary mindset, we expect to see the increased adoption of telematics to return and maybe potentially increase. What we have gleaned so far about the impact of COVID is that telematics is a critical component in the needed digitalization of global supply chains and to allow services to be delivered by our customers in a more efficient and contactless way. Turn to page 28. We have a great opportunity in addition to adding additional units is to add additional growth in ARPU. We have a number of excellent SaaS services that we will deliver over the next 12 months, along with an in-cab solution which has forward and driver-facing cameras to improve driver safety and help our customers manage their insurance costs. We turn to page 29, outlook for FY21. Despite economic uncertainty across all of our markets, EROAD remains well placed, reflecting its strong customer value proposition, future contracted income, diverse customer base across regions and industry sizes, as well as the different types of businesses that we support. Then to page 30, we are well placed and we're ready. We continue to support our customers, many of which will be critical in rebuilding the global economy. In a global downturn, current and new customers are looking for products and services to help drive efficiencies in their business, and that's what EROAD does very, very well. We now have the right systems and processes in place to drive efficiencies in our business, and that will be a key focus over the next 12 months. We have the cash flows and funding facilities to support anticipated annual growth. We continue to look at growth opportunities, both organic and inorganic, and evaluate an ASX listing. So bottom line, we still choose to grow and we continue to invest in our future. I'll hand back to the operator to take questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Owen Humphreys from Canaccord. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys, and congratulations on a fantastic result. Firstly, just clarify a question. Just on those paid and dispute costs, just what does that relate to? Has that been finished, are those costs likely to be ongoing into FY21?
I think we've previously disclosed that we were in a dispute around use of patent in America. That's in our previous set of announcements. We worked through that during the course of FY20 and got to a point where we settled that dispute. So it will not reoccur going forward. And the total cost of the legal costs and settlement was with the $2 million that we referred to. So that will not be recurring.
Yeah, and the bottom line on that one is we did not infringe any patents.
Totally.
Good one. Okay, good to hear. And maybe just touching on the US, obviously 60% growth there is impressive. You wanted to, a couple of large customers. Maybe talk about, are you seeing an increase in interest in your product in the US, and are you changing the way you go to market or through partnership agreements or distributors, or just talk through your ability to scale in that market? What are you doing about it?
So, you know, I think if we reflect back on those two enterprise ones, while it provided wonderful revenue growth, what it also did is it basically provided us with the reputation needed to access those larger customers. The focus has been last year and into this year is to provide a better product market fit for enterprise customers. That's kind of reflected in that EROAD Go product being delivered in sort of the next 90-odd days, which allows workflow logistics from the back office through to the driver in the vehicle. So, you know, that is a focus as we get a better fit, which is sort of integrating into some of the larger logistics systems out there, which is McLeod and TMW. We improve our ability to access enterprise. Enterprise tends to be a direct sales as opposed to through channel, but we've clearly demonstrated that we can bring on these large enterprise accounts without impacting their operations. So we have two very happy customers up there. We did add a smaller enterprise account during the course of the year as well. So it is an increased focus for us, those enterprise accounts like EROAD, because we are experts in transport regulation and providing SaaS products that help them best manage that. We have great customer service and our product's incredibly reliable.
Good one. Okay. And maybe just switching gears to Australia, the TAM obviously is very large there. Can you just touch on the current adoption rates for both medium, light and heavy vehicles, and what's the likelihood that this could be mandated, or as they move to a RUC style scenario that you've seen in New Zealand into Australia, or what could step change the acceptance of telematics in this market?
Okay, so telematics is well used in Australia, primarily around logistics and service delivery. We entered the Australian market based on the regulatory hook was around chain of responsibility. That's our normal sort of MO for going into a new market. So that was the change that was brought in about a year ago. And of course, we've then added the fringe benefit tax and the fuel tax refund product. Within that Australian regulatory environment, there is a lot of reform proposed in there related to the driver fatigue management, which is the electronic work diary, which is similar to the initiative that was introduced into America. There is also increased focus on the health and safety side as well. There are trials happening in Australia, a small one last year, and they're proposing a larger national road user charge pilot. So there's a lot of transport regulation that will become open to sort of regulatory telematics SaaS solutions. So that's the interest for us, and I think that will be a major driver of adoption as it was in the US market.
Good one. And of the 4,500 customers you have, just remind me, how many of those customers are Trans-Tasman?
So Trans-Tasman customers, which there is a number of large enterprise accounts, there's about 300 of them where we have their business in New Zealand. So some of those customers are part of our sales pipeline for Australia.
Okay, goodbye. And just lastly from me, I know we have chatted previously about the next generation hardware solution being released. Is that an FY21 initiative? Has it been released already? Is it first half or second half? And what does that mean for ARPU for your business?
So the camera solution is currently an alpha heading into beta next month, with the release around that sort of October, November timeframe. So that is the product that is in addition to what we currently have. So that will be sort of circa $35 per month. So that will be a significant ARPU add. It's a product that's in big demand in North America as a result of some really crazy settlements where the settlements and the payments made by insurers has been in the order of $50 million plus. So they're now demanding that operators start putting this equipment into their vehicles to help exonerate and reduce some of these settlements.
Good one. Good to hear. Okay, I might step back in the queue and well done, guys. Good result.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Joshua Dale from Craigs Investment Partners. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Stephen and Alex, and congratulations on the good progress you've made this year. Just one question from me. On slides 20 and 21, the $16.5 million investment in development and software assets, how much of those costs were more one-off in nature, and how much do you expect to recur going forward?
So I guess what we said was the software assets spend, which is the 6.9 component of that 16.5, is predominantly non-recurring. So we put a significant amount of investment in new generation business systems this year. We deployed a new ERP, We will continue to invest some money in that as to get further benefits of it as we bed that in, but it will be nothing like, you know, close to $7 million that we spent this year. I think it would be in a very low digit, one to two million sort of space. In terms of the 9.6 development efforts, I mean, that's continuing to link on to next generation of products and the future focused platforms that we've got. I think we will continue to work on that, albeit the shape of what we're doing will change over time. Have you got some thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things that we are doing in terms of product development is increasing the capability of some of the underlying platforms that will allow us to provide additional services to enterprise. The business platforms that we built 5 years ago were primarily focused at small to medium business. They were very reliable, and we have been able to serve larger enterprise. But that is really the focus is going forward. Those platforms need to be enterprise grade.
That's great. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. I will now give you a few moments to register your questions. Your next question comes from Wasim Kisiwani from Jarden. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Can I just ask a question on the sales pipeline? You made some comments about slippage there, and then you've obviously given the outlook commentary expecting lower unit growth. But can you just elaborate on that, you know, sort of the extent of that slippage that you're seeing, whether it's sort of SMB and enterprise, and you know, when you're sort of, and if you're able to sort of quantify the level of unit growth decrease that you're seeing this year, given the momentum that's been built up in the business over the last couple of years, I would have expected that some of that momentum continues, especially in the SMB space. So just interested in your comments around that, please.
Yeah, it was difficult to hear you, but I think if I can rephrase that question, that you're interested to know what that impact on pipelines is for both SMB and enterprise.
Yes.
So, you know, we need to put some contextual thing around this. We're 2 months into this year. New Zealand came out of lockdown not too many weeks ago, so we were significantly impacted. While in lockdown, we could only service essential services. We've seen that pipeline unlock in many cases, and the additional capability that our system can do around contact tracing has also won us business in the short term. So, you know, I think SMB flows will come back, but will they sustain? We're expecting some recessionary impacts and maybe a W kind of shape recovery in New Zealand. America, I think that's a very chaotic market at the moment and really difficult for us to project. So we just need to be very agile. You know, you've got a presidential election, you've got the civil protesting, which seems to be becoming more intense, and you've got a spike in COVID. Some of the things that we're looking at from a North American perspective is, so how do you do a large-scale rollout when all your customer support staff is at home? So, I think we're not losing opportunity, but they are getting pushed out. So I think we just need to roll with the punches. More of that. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, no, it does. That's good colour. I appreciate that. And then, mate, just to follow up to that then, on the cost measures that have been undertaken in the business on the back of, you know, the cautious outlook, is that having an impact on
on the sales pipeline as well. They sort of cut back on marketing events and hiring and adding salespeople. Just interested in your thoughts around whether the business is getting that balance right now between pushing on the opportunity at hand and then also being cautious given the outlook.
Yeah, I mean, I think predominantly a lot of the cost levers we pulled in the short term that I talked about were actually very easy cost levers to pull. So you can't do any traveling during lockdown, and therefore associated costs of doing that, dried up, which was good. As you've indicated, some of our marketing activities center around events. And again, large-scale events have been problematic under all of the different types of lockdown that we've had in the three markets. Obviously, we're looking at what we can do now and coming out, and there's some loosening in some of the markets, and we'll continue to make sure that we are investing. So we deferred some of our marketing spend rather than pulled it back. But we, maintain a strong focus on making sure we are spending as effectively and efficiently in our marketing space, particularly the digital marketing space, to look at results. And I think in terms of our sales pipeline, we've got good visibility from the new systems now, and we will add and prioritize adding resource when it appears appropriate in terms of expanding that market out. We're continuing to build the Australian market. We've only got, less than six people on the ground in Australia, and they're continuing to build momentum there in the SMB space. And we're, working the enterprise pipeline in Australia, for example, using, our enterprise sales folks from New Zealand remotely in combination with the on-the-ground folks as necessary. So we haven't seen any issues to date, but as Stephen said, it's going to be a long haul when we're only a couple of months in. So we are dynamically managing the business. We're making decisions monthly, and we're forecasting quarterly around what the business needs to invest and capitalize on growth and pipeline activity. So we will make sure we prioritize accordingly, but we are making sure we're aware of what levers we might need to pull should the macroeconomic conditions deteriorate.
Mm-hmm. And there's a number of pilots that were about to be undertaken. They got deferred, and we've received in recent weeks that those pilots will begin again, so in that sort of August timeframe. Mm-hmm. I think, when you get from this very chaotic period of uncertainty where customers and prospects are really trying to work out which way is up for their businesses, they're not particularly open for buying. When we get into a recessionary mindset, and they'll most probably still not have great control of their top line, then they become incredibly focused on how they can reduce their costs. So that is something that EROAD with its products and services can help an awful lot. We're expecting as we move out of the chaos and into recession that, we will do well.
Right, that's very useful. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Blair Cooper from ACC. Please go ahead. Pardon me, Blair, your line is live. Please go ahead.
Well, good morning, guys. Look, just in relation to April and May collections and thinking about that $80-odd million of annualised recurring revenue that you start the year with effectively, I just wondered whether you've had to give any relief to any of the customers.
Yeah, thanks, Blair. Clearly during lockdown, there was a number of things occurring. A bunch of our customers couldn't even get into the office to make payments. So there was some logistical issues a number of them had. And obviously there were others that were economically very significantly impacted by lockdown. We have had a series of conversations with a number of customers And we had some customers in America with similar issues, and we have worked with them to get to a situation which worked both for us and for them in terms of deferral of those April payments and those being paid over the remaining few months in the rest of FY21 financial year. It was only really predominantly to do with April invoice amounts. May, as Steve has outlined, an awful lot of our customers got back significantly on track in terms of vehicle movement, which is a proxy for generation of economic revenue. So we have had much less of an impact on that in May. It's only really the April invoicing. And again, it was kept to an amount because it was only a certain amount of our customers that were impacted. Clearly, tourism is probably the sector that's had the most issues in New Zealand, and what we worked through that with the limited number of tourism customers that we do have on to make sure that we provided the support that we could during that period. And we continue to work with the customers in that segment. But a lot of our customers are now back on track, and we're working on moving all of those debtors along into collective areas. So some small impact, but not significant. It would be the summary of that.
Thanks.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Newman for closing remarks.
Thank you, everyone, for attending the call. And we look forward to catching up with many of you over the next week or so. Good morning.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.